Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And I'm Scott Corelli, and you can find me as one of the hosts of Franchisography.
Alrighty, and today we're talking about minute 208, part 6, Something Darker. It's going to start with the Flash continuing to turn back time by running towards where the Unity exploded from, and then the minute's going to end with the Flash making a leap towards where the mother boxes were. So he's still running, still turning time backwards. You start to see all the debris come back into place as he starts reversing time. And that's literally what's going on in this minute. There's some dialogue that we'll talk about. But yeah, we're still doing this.
Once he's not running in slow motion and it's like a wide shot, it's like that, mm-hmm. that wide overhead shot of him like running, like kind of just in regular speed, it seems like. And then everything's building up behind him. Pretty cool. I'll give it that. That looks pretty good. I like that. All the slow motion needs to go.
It's like playing a Lego game, and then you start putting all the things back together.
Yeah. That's fun. I'm also realizing the extreme close-ups of his face. I think that's Snyder trying to like recall 2001: A Space Odyssey. I think that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. I think he's trying to do a 2001 thing there.
That's really cool. That's news to me. I never put that thought together in this moment here. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It makes sense. Although what he's seeing in 2001, A Space Odyssey, actually makes more sense for the Speed Force than what we got in this movie. But that's neither here nor there. I like my speed lines and I like my tunnels. That's what I like for.
Yeah.
That's what I like for a Speed Force.
I do like that. Yeah.
Anyway,
not too far off. I mean, Zach is very quick to say, you know, he saw something he really liked in another movie and he completely took it and did the same thing. So I could totally, very plausible that he was, you know, kind of doing an homage to 2001. Mm-hmm. And like, now that I'm looking at it, I do see little streaks of lines there in the mm-hmm. close-ups.
Yep.
So yeah, totally, totally.
Yep.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the shows you do, Scott, before we get to deep diving a little bit more into this minute here. But yeah, you mentioned Franchisography and, of course, the beloved Geek by Night show. I've been in love with this show ever since I started listening to it back when Reboot came out. Mm-hmm. And I just want to congratulate you and everyone who's worked on that show. You know, for listeners listening, we've mentioned it a few times. We've had a few guests who work on Geek by Night as well. And you are in the final season and in the final handful of episodes, I believe, yet to come out.
I'm currently, right before recording this, I was editing like the final scene in the penultimate episode, and I start editing the series finale like this week. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So
it is a wonderful story about superheroes or people who get superhuman abilities. Mm-hmm. It's funny, it's endearing, it's a lot of things. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what it's like kind of closing the book on this.
You know, Geek by Night, it's a show about friends who work at a comic book shop and have superpowers and essentially do, at least toward the beginning of the show, do everything they can to avoid becoming superheroes. Fate has other ideas for them. Now we're in our final season, and what the show was at the beginning is a distant memory. it's been pretty wild this season. We're kind of like, you know, leaving everything on the field with this. For a long time we had a list of stuff that we wanted to do with the show over the course of doing the show. And as we went into the final season, we just, like really found a way to cross every one of those things off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which has been really nice and really satisfying. And I am more proud of the script for the series finale, the feature length series finale, than anything that I've ever written. I just think it's I think
that's good.
Yeah. I think we did a really killer job with the finale. It's hopefully satisfying and heartfelt in all the right ways. There's multiple moments in it that I was thinking about you, Mark, while we were writing them, because I was like, Mark's gonna love this.
It wasn't about Godzilla, was it?
No, it wasn't. We had already done that. It's just I don't know. It's great. And everybody should listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying I don't know, but I mean, for a lot of people who've been listening to it, and really, when you know, we decided to start having guests again for Zack Snyder's Justice League Minute, it was like, you know, being part of dueling genre and this Geek by Night show, if people like superheroes, and you know, I know this DC Cinematic Universe is kind of polarizing. You love it, you hate it, but you know, check out this show. It's you know, there's some comic book characters in there that there's some characters in there that, like, you know, they don't like Man of Steel or something. And it's like, I like Man of Steel, but I think it's funny. Like, I think the show, like, there's just this, these growths that these characters, they go through, kind of like Clerks a bit, where they're like, they work in a comic book shop and then they get superpowers. So there's a bit of, I'm quick to say it's got a little bit of Doom Patrol in there as well, where like, they don't really want this, you know. Janet Stokely, like, being forgotten by everyone, like, the just weird stuff that happens that you've created in this show. And so, yeah, your final season is literally like 0 to 60 when you look at, you know, kind of everything bubbling in season two, and then it just quick to go into this third season. Because when you did the first season of this new iteration of Geek by Night, there was like these core four parts. For the arcs were in like four parts almost.
Oh yeah, right. And then, yeah, because they were built like comic book arcs. That was the
yes.
Yeah,
but then it started being like, no, there's a definitive episode, and then it just kept it started snowballing from there. And this season three has been absolutely wild. So first of all, as a listener of the show, I just want to say congratulations, and I love it, and I love everything you guys do there. It's like I said, it's just all the feels in that show. Everyone in the Dueling Genre Discord has a blast talking about it whenever a new episode drops. And you guys have just done, like, in my opinion, some like award-winning stuff. Like, it should be award-winning. you said it. I was going to ask anyways, like, you know, when you've reached the end of the season, you found a way to kind of put everything in there, so you're not kind of feeling, oh, we didn't really get to do that, or mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're just gonna leave being completely satisfied with this finale for this show. Mm-hmm. Time travel is part of Geek by Night. We have a character who can time travel in a way, mm-hmm. And I know we have time travel here in this minute. That was gonna be a question for you. It's like, how is it that you figure out how you're going to handle time travel? Because you also come from, Back to the Future Minute, time travel is kind of your bag little bit. So how is it that you figured out a character who's going to be able to time travel?
With time travel, I think that like the big thing is that you have to figure out what the rules are in your universe of how time travel is going to work. It has to follow like a logic, and then you can never break that. that's the thing, is like, you can't break that logic. Like, you have to stay inside your universe's logic of how time travel works. As soon as you start trying to incorporate other things, this is why the end game, the time travel in end game is so confusing, because they reference Back to the Future, but they're not doing Back to the Future time travel. And trust me, if anybody knows Back to the Future time travel, it's me.
It's this guy.
Yeah.
You know him, you love him.
I basically have a PhD in those movies at this point. And it just doesn't work, because they're like, wait, you're comparing it to Back to the Future, but that's not the logic that you guys are following.
I think it's everyone references Back to the Future. I think almost every time travel story has to mention it.
They don't reference the time machine.
They do it in The Flash, literally. Like
they do it in the whole Flash.
Eric Stoltz thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's a time travel movie. And I think it happened even after I saw The Flash. I think it's mentioned somewhere else. And I was just like, man, people really do reference this. It's almost like, I don't know if it's like easy for the audience to someone that like someone has to say Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And like people know what that is. So then they're like, oh, I get it. Time travel.
Well, it's not just time travel. It's like time travel back and then back to present to correct something. I think that's really like the premise. It's like it's back and then forth.
Yeah, back and to the left. Every time.
Like the Texas is the Reason song. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just, you know, time traveling Back to the Future is very specific. You know, they work in lanes. And every time you make a change, you build a new lane. And there's no going back to the other lane. Like, you're in the new lane now. That's how it works. And unfortunately, that's not really what is usually happening in the movies or the shows that reference Back to the Future. So
when it comes to Gretchen in Geek by Night and with the time travel, was that something you had to figure out as like a whole macro plan to it, if you're gonna do time travel? Or
yeah, to a certain extent it was like, because originally her power was like, you know, kind of more like time manipulation. But like our whole thing, the logic of our whole thing tends to be built around the concept of like what do you call that, like a causal time loop. Is what we try to build our stuff with, just because I think it's the easiest way to keep your logic intact if everything is a causal time loop. So that's what she was doing. We definitely shift that in a couple of ways in the new season, but I think it all works as an evolution of that initial choice, which is that if it's time manipulation is her power, then any time travel needs to be based around the logic of a causal time loop. So that's sort of how we've made sense of that. And everything that we do in this new season that goes colors outside those lines it's all still evolving out of that same concept, I would say. So,
Yeah. I mean, just trying to pick your brain about like what it is to write time travel. It seems incredibly intimidating. I'm assuming this has to be like almost like you have to talk this out with your peers and figure it all out.
There's so many times that like Cass and Nick and I have been like on a Zoom call together or whatever, and just been like, okay, so if this happens, and then. I've had to like draw maps and stuff to be like, okay, yes, this all works. We always check our work. Like that is always what we do whenever we're writing these. And it's the reason why the show takes forever to come out, is because we are very judicious when it comes to the logic of the show. And that's partially because like, I want to get it right. I don't want to make like a big boo-boo. But also, I don't know, there's something like really fun about that part of it for me. It's like, putting a puzzle together. I don't want to put a half-ass puzzle out, because, you know, I don't have a board of directors being like, we need a movie out now, sir. I don't have to do that. Like, so I can just, we've just been able to take our time and get everything right and follow the logic to wherever it takes us.
Good house needs a strong foundation, you know?
Yeah,
so you gotta lay the groundwork and all that stuff, because you don't always get to rebuild it again.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And so, you know, bringing that up here, you know, of course we have time travel here. I mean, Barry is doing his thing here in this minute, traveling back in time. And so he's going to, you know, like we talked about yesterday, in this moment, he's figuring out that he can reverse time, fix what's broken, and then save the day, apparently. And so he says, you know, it's all right now. You know, what does he say? You can, what does he say? You can change the future, you can change the past. But I'm paraphrasing very quickly. But basically, you can, he's finding out he can change the course of history. And this will lead to the Flash movie, of course. But I like the moment here. I like this more than I liked yesterday's minute. I kind of thought if this was like the only line of dialogue, I would have really liked it. Cause I just like that he's able to figure this out. And it's not that, he's just like, oh, I'm finding this out for the first time. And like you said, Nate, if he didn't have this dialogue of like, oh, I have this rule, I don't like to break it, weird things happen. If this just was his revelation of like, oh, I can do this. I kind of like a moth to a flame a little bit of just being like, whoa, I found this out. I can do this. I really like that concept here in this moment. And like the way that the guitar in the background is just riding the scale as he's kind of like saying these words, it's just like, it's more revolutionary than it is just like what yesterday's minute felt like is sacrificial, but it's not. It's like, not really the vibe we're getting.
Like this vibe is, to me, it feels like it should be, and it is, more of like a push yourself further kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like the dialogue of having the rule and not wanting to break it because it does weird things with time. Like, I don't think you should already know that yet. Like this should be something, or at least like an idea of like, hey, I think I can do this. So I really need to like push myself to the limit. Not really second guessing whether or not I should do it because I made up a rule at some point and I'm just not going to break the rule, but I'll break every other rule that I've made and society has made, yada, yada. It's not like Barry Allen isn't a rule breaker.
you almost want, you know, the main like arc of the Flash movie that we got to like take place before this movie. Like that already happened. He made that mistake. He learned his lesson. Now he's back in the regular universe and he's like, yeah, I have this one rule that I don't break because I did it once and it was a mess. Yeah. And then now he's like, well, I have no choice. I have to try. And that's the Flash. Like, that's interesting. If at that point, but you're right, Nate, like, how does he even know that? Other than like watching movies, I guess he's like, I shouldn't do that. I don't know. He never really explains it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
So it can work in both ways. The first one being, if he didn't mention the rule at all, but when he's in the scout ship and he just has to run really fast, he builds a charge, touches the mother box, that already leads into this act because they're like, hey, remember when you built that charge and activated the mother box to resurrect Superman? We need you to do that again, but for three mother boxes, so you're having to do this bigger charge up. And they're like, okay, well, if I did it once, I could do it again. It's like, well, joke's on you. You're going to get shot and injured and we're all going to fail. But when you ran in the scout ship and you see the close-up of him miss, you know, the mother box is dipping into the water and then he's reaching and then the mother box starts reversing. And then there's kind of like this wonder of like, wait a minute, am I reversing this right now? But then touches it, falls through the wall. And then now in the third act, he's like, can I expand?
Can I go further? Yeah. Let me go further. I need to push further.
That was really weird that mother box started reversing. Exactly. Can I reverse time? And like now it's like a new thing that he's like, oh wait, I can do this. And right. Then the other would be that if the Flash movie just mentioned, like if the whole Flash movie just being itself, the movie that we got, but just happening before this movie, like the whole Man of Steel bit still works. And then in this movie, when he's like, oh yeah, Superman's like my favorite and all this stuff, it's like, yeah, because you went through that whole Man of Steel stuff and was like, you really wanted Superman to be back and you liked him and you were there at the Ground Zero or Black Zero event, right? And he's like, oh yeah, I just really like Superman because I like secretly reversed time and like fixed everything so he's back, but now he's dead and I'm really sad about that. And so, you know, now he's like, oh yeah, I don't really want to go back in time because I kind of broke things last time. So it can work either way, but yeah, it's almost like this movie did both, mentioning it and then also being mind blown by it.
Because like Nate said, it doesn't care about the Flash movie in either direction. Yeah. It's just saying, no, this is the Flash movie. It's called Justice League.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is certainly a choice. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if it was the creative team just being like, hey, let's just like get it all out there. Like, and that's okay because we have 4 hours and we're doing this. Like, as much as we can think of, let's just put it all in, and then we'll worry about it later. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but as long as like when you make the Flash movie, like maybe don't make the one you made with Ezra Miller.
Yeah, just, no,
like,
yeah, make, I think you're right.
Just make a Flash movie, like with a new person. I don't know.
With a new person, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That my platonic ideal, Barry Allen, has always been Dan Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Stevens would be. He would have been a great Barry Allen. Again, like 10 years ago. That's my ideal Flash movie. It's from 10 years ago, and it was Dan Stevens as Barry Allen and Idris Elba as Captain Cold.
So you must go back in time. 10 years ago.
Yep.
To make your movie,
but I won't make any mistakes. It's fine when I do.
Yeah. You won't mess up the timeline at all. Who would know? How would they know?
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, it's. Yeah, I've always kind of thought of it like, well, if it's a Justice League movie, every kind of Justice League character has to do like this, the most extreme version of their abilities, because it's such a big event that you need all these superheroes, that it almost makes more sense to me, just out of my preference, that if Barry Allen is going, or any speedster is going to mess up the timeline, reverse time, it would be in a Justice League movie, because then it would call for such a, you know, it's saving the Earth, basically. Right. You have to reverse time. So, and again, that goes back to the DC animated universe, the Justice League Unlimited, Justice League, him defeating Brainiac because all the other Justice League members had failed. This to me is that. It's like, okay, well, we want the Flash to do something really cool in the Justice League movie. And it's like, well, we're going to do it. We're going to jump the shark here, because we shouldn't do that in his first movie anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. That's why.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. I think that's why the, you know, that's why when you make, you know, the Flash, like this is what happened with the Flash TV show and the Flash movie. It's like, you guys get too hung up on the like extracurricular powers that you don't spend enough time with, like, the guy who just runs real fast and takes care of crime.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was no crime. There was no crime in the Flash. Like, it was
the
just
TV show?
Yeah, no, no, in the movie.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no crime. Like, he was stopping no crimes. No. You know, he saved a bunch of CGI babies. Once again, in slow motion.
Don't forget the CGI dog, okay?
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, he ignored the dog at first, I think, and then he circled back. But I don't know. Like, that's not great. And then the TV show was just like, what if every season, the season-long villain was another speedster? Because that's the only thing that could possibly challenge the Flash is somebody else who run real fast. And I just,
well, they didn't have the budget for the shark or the gorilla yet, so
well, but they could have used Captain Cold, and instead they just threw him away in an episode and then shoved him into a spinoff. You know, we never got a Rogues episode, like not even an episode, let alone what should have been like a season long arc of like the whole Rogues, you know, team.
We didn't even
against
get it
the Flash
in the movie, which I think is like. Yeah. Probably the part I like the most about the animated version of Flashpoint is that he stops all the rogues in the beginning.
The beginning,
with,
yeah.
With
yeah.
the Justice League, and I just like that intro. Like,
yeah,
I think most of the time I watch it, that movie, it's because it's like, it's, I love whatever version of the DC universe is right here in the beginning of yeah. this, where he's with Kevin Conroy's Batman and he's like fighting all the rogues and Mirror Master, which is a yeah. character I really, really like. Yeah. And I love that movie because then it gets weird. But yeah. it's like, you love whatever this is. So it's even sad that it gets erased because he messed up the timeline. But it's, yeah, it's like, we didn't even get the rogues in the beginning. He stopped random people, you right. know? And right. it's like, and that was the one part of the movie that I felt a little bit happy at first, was just that Batman and Wonder Woman were in it at the beginning. Cause it's like, that's what I do want. I want the Justice League to, like, you know, help him solve something and then say goodbye because he's going to mess it up. But it's like, I wanted that, but like, that couldn't even been rogues. Like, yeah, it couldn't even be rogues, man. It just, it's so disappointing. yeah.
You should save the crazy stuff for Justice League. Cause that's where the Flash needs to pull that stuff out, because it's like, yeah, it's like an Earth, you know, or universe wide threat, you know? That's when you need to pull out the crazy stuff. But like,
and
there's no reason to do that in a Flash solo movie. That's crazy.
And he does Flashpoint in this anyways, right? Because in Dawn of Justice, he actually goes back at the wrong mm-hmm. point of time and creates this alternate
yeah.
lane, because Batman was like, hey, Superman's evil. I need you to go back in time because we found out in Pejorno you can do this. So I need you to go do that. And then he goes back in the wrong point of time, ends up creating it, and then realizes, oh, actually, you're supposed to go in the other time portal. And that would go to that point of time, which we've speculated on the show what that could have been. But yeah, like, the Flashpoint is happening in this Justice League arc anyway. So why have a movie where he does it? Because then... If this,
you can bring back Michael Keaton as Batman, Mark.
And Michael Shannon is doing something, you know, so.
He got paid. That's what he was doing. He got
paid. Yeah. It does. You would think if Justice League Part 2 or 3 got created, that they'd have a conversation where it's like, you have to go back in time again. And he's like, I'm going to tell you, like, I did this a bunch of other times. And this is god awful. This yeah. would be the, like, they would almost have.
I'm so curious what the Flash movie was supposed to be when Snyder was like planning everything, like when they announced all of the titles in 2014.
Yeah.
When Snyder was sort of like El Capitan still. I'm wondering like what that Flash movie was supposed to be if. As he said at something, I don't remember what, I'm sure you guys know exactly what event he said this at, but that the ultimate goal of his, like the ultimate arc was going to end with like a Flashpoint thing, right? Because like yeah. the ultimate villain was going to end up being, Professor Zoom. Right? Yeah. Eobard? Wasn't that a thing? Reverse Flash was going to be like the ultimate villain of the of Snyder's DCU? Wasn't that something he said recently? So...
If he said it recently, you said it, you don't go on social media much anymore. I don't. So I barely found out about Zack Snyder recently being on the Joe Rogan podcast. I haven't heard anything in such a long time, but that was like so loud that it broke through. And I was like, I guess I got to see what everyone's yapping about.
I want to say it was when he was promoting Rebel Moon, the first one. That he said this at something, I don't know, but yeah, he basically was like, yeah, and then all of the Justice League movies, they was going to culminate in the big reveal that like the villain behind everything was Eobard Thawne, and that it was going to be like, it was going to culminate in a Flashpoint movie that was going to reboot the DC universe.
Yeah, like that in a long game sense, that you saying it makes sense to me, and yeah. I would have enjoyed that.
But what I'm saying is
grand plan.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is in that plan, I wonder what the Flash solo movie was back when Snyder was still in charge of everything. What was that movie? The one that Rick, what was his name?
Yeah, Rick Famuyiwa.
Yeah. That he was going to direct.
And I remember that was the reason why he left, was because they were pushing for Flashpoint and he didn't want to do that. He wanted a kind of like a real
Flash movie.
Well, yeah. So there was a rumor that it was going to be Rogues based, but that they already had it in set in stone, no pun intended, that Victor Stone and Flash, because they're the younger of this Justice League movie, and this is always intended that they were going to be like kind of, you know, newly inducted to this superhero business, that they would then go into the Flash movie as not like buddy cop, but like, yeah, they would. Victor Stone was supposed to be the supporting character.
Oh,
and so they're young, they're trying to do their thing, and Barry's fighting the rogues and stuff, and so it was going to be more like just two young superheroes, you know, Cyborg trying to help Barry and fighting some rogues and stuff. And I think
that sounds better.
Yeah, and that's why Rick left. That's why a bunch of other people left until they found Andy. And Andy said, sure, I'll do the Flashpoint for you guys. And they said, okay, go do it. And he did it. So as long as you say yes to it, you can make the Flash movie.
God.
and you know, and that's what makes this you know, movie, you know, so great and so powerful, is that you had someone who had this vision for what these superheroes are going to do. You know, we've always talked about how polarizing it is, but hey, someone said, and they stuck to it, that they were going to make these choices for these characters. And then even so, the characters kind of doubled down on what they believe in this third movie, this third installment. And that's why we get moments like here. And it's like, wow, no wonder a lot of people like this moment. I can't say it's my favorite part of it, but it's like, oh, I get it. You know, like Flash is doing something really cool here. It's probably not executed as best as you would want it, but it's like, hey, this is a really cool moment. And when we were watching it for the first time, you know, even after seeing the 2017 version, it's just like, wow, what a picture, you know? It's just
yeah.
It's not a masterpiece, but boy, is it cathartic. Is, you know, it's such a treat. So yeah, the Flash will, you know, he's running towards the center. We won't see the completion of this turning back of time, but yeah, this just continues to be kind of a visually beautiful moment, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I'd say too. My last note of this is going to be, I'm just a really big fan of the lightning going over to materialize the street lamps in the road.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why. It just looks cool, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, cool, electricity. You know, I saw Harry Potter when he flipped a little thing and all the lights went in and out, and it's like, yeah, cool. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. A little conduit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.